Thank you, Dave. Thank you, worship team. Fantastic. If you're following along in your Bibles, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And as you're turning, I'm going to pray and we'll begin to look at God's Word. Father, we thank you that we have your Word, that we have it in written form and digital form. Lord, we have it in every form possible, but Lord, help us to read it. Help us to learn from it. Help us to grow through it. Help us to sincerely desire your Word that we might grow. And today, Lord, I pray that this would be a spiritual feeding to our hearts. Encourage us with your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about the importance of friendship. The importance of friendship. God created us to have relationships. He doesn't intend for us to be alone or isolated. It's God who said it's not good for man to be alone. You know, the church is meant to be a place where we gather together. The church, the word ecclesia means to assemble or an assembly. It's where Christians congregate. That's why we're called a congregation. A church is meant to be a place of fellowship and friendship, a place of support and encouragement, a place for love and acceptance. That's what the church is all about, a place where we can bear one another's burdens. And hopefully, if we come regularly enough, it's a place where everyone knows your name. Everybody knows who you are. We want that. We need that. Let me ask you, have you found that yet? Have you found that kind of a fellowship where you can connect, where you can build those kind of friendships? Have you found that yet? If not, let me encourage you to find a home church, not just an occasional visit to a church, but a home church where you commit to week in, week out, where you can put down deep roots and have long-lasting relationships. Now, I know that right now our interaction is somewhat limited due to the coronavirus. I know we're more isolated, and I guess that's on purpose until we get a hang of this. But when there's opportunities to gather like this that's safe, please take that opportunity. That's all the more reason to connect with a local church, because we're going to feel that isolation. We're going to feel that loneliness more now than ever. And we need to get involved with like-minded, Bible-believing Christian brothers and sisters that can support us, and you can support them. I don't think it'll be too long, I hope, until we do gather back together. So decide now to plug into your church, whether it be this one or a different one. Decide now that you're going to make fellowship a priority. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling together, as some have done. We are to be fellowshipping, congregating, and hopefully that'll lead to true, long-lasting friendships. And I say all this today because we're still in our study in Philippians, and Paul, even though he was in jail, had a lot of friends. He had a lot of people coming and going. And we're going to meet two of those friends today from our text, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. We've looked at every verse up to this point. This is where we left off last week, and we'll continue on in chapter 3 next week. So we're going to wrap up chapter 2. I've titled my message, Faithful Friends. Faithful Friends. And their names are Timothy and Epaphroditus. How about that name? Epaphroditus. That's a difficult one to say. I practiced all week trying to say that name, because it just doesn't seem to come off my lips too easily. Timothy and Epaphroditus. And I gave them nicknames that describe their character. We're going to call Timothy Tender Timothy, or Timothy the Tender-hearted, because he loved people. He had a genuine concern for people. He had a soft spot for the church. And we're going to call Epaphroditus Encouraging Epaphroditus, or Epaphroditus the Encourager, because he was always building people up. He was sent on a mission to encourage Paul. Now, if you'd like to follow along, the scriptures for today are in your bulletin on this extra sheet. you've got verses about Timothy, and on the back, verses about Epaphroditus. I hope some of their qualities rub off on us. We need to be faithful friends. We need to be friends like these men were. There's an old saying that goes like this: if you want a friend, you need to be a friend. If you want a friend, I think most of us want friends. I think we want relationships. We want to have interaction. We want to have true fellowship. If you want a friend, then be a friend. Dale Carnegie wrote it and said this. He says, now listen, this is a great quote. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. Let me say that again. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than 2 years trying to get people interested in you. Now, as I studied these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, that's what they had in common. They were interested in others. It wasn't all about them. It was all about others. They were invested in others. They served others. And because of that, they were cherished friends of the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure the whole local church. You know, as we read this chapter, it's hard because we're taking little chunks to see the big continuity. But at the very beginning of this chapter, chapter 2, we read this: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's chapter 2, verse 3. With humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourself. You want to make friends? You do what this verse says. Humble yourself, serve others, make others more important than yourself. That's what these two men did. Timothy and Epaphroditus exemplify this principle. Because of their humility, because of their service, because of being others-focused, they were invaluable friends. They had great value. So let's get to know these two men. We'll take a few minutes for each. We're going to begin with tender Timothy. Hopefully they'll teach us a little bit about how to be friends. Let's just read through this passage a verse at a time and see what we discover. So beginning in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, in your bulletin, follow along. Paul says, but I hoped in the Lord to send you Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. By the way, this book, if you went back to chapter 1, verse 1, was written by Paul and Timothy. Usually we see written by Paul to the Ephesians or to the Corinthians. This says from Paul and Timothy. So Timothy may have assisted in writing this book. He was Paul's right-hand man. They were very close friends and great co-workers. Paul, in all of his letters, mentions Timothy about 24 times. Now, Epaphroditus only gets mentioned twice. Not that he's lesser of a friend, but Timothy was one that stuck with Paul and helped Paul throughout the years of ministry. So at the time of this letter, Paul was incarcerated in a Roman jail, chained to a Roman prison guard, awaiting trial. Timothy, on the other hand, was not incarcerated, but he was there. He was present. We read in Acts 16 that he was allowed to have visitors. And so Timothy was there to help and support Paul all during this ordeal. It was during these 2 years that Paul wrote many of his letters. And he wrote this one, and Timothy seemed to help him. What do we know about Timothy? Well, I'm just going to give you in a nutshell. We won't look back, but we learn a lot about him in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you want to read about Timothy a little more on your own, read the whole book of 2 Timothy. It's all about him. It's a letter written from Paul to Timothy. But he was a son of a mixed marriage. What I mean by that, his mother was a believing Jew, and his father was an unbelieving Gentile. Not only are Jews and Gentiles not supposed to marry, but believers and unbelievers are not supposed to marry. So this was not a perfect home life for Timothy. But he did have a mother named Lois and a grandmother named Eunice. It says that they taught him the scriptures and that their faith rubbed off on him. Now, Paul took him along in ministry. We read about that in, I think, Acts 16. He took him along to join one of his teams. When John Mark deserted him, one of his helpers became Timothy. And Timothy is called my true child in the faith. So Paul refers to him several times as my child in the faith. So he became almost like a father figure to Timothy. Some believe it's possible that Paul, when he planted a church in Timothy's hometown, that Timothy became a believer as a result of Paul's ministry. And so Paul ministered to him and then mentored him, took him with him, trained him to be a missionary. And eventually, at the end of his life, he's passing the torch on to Timothy. He says, you take over. My time has come to the end. And so Timothy became, in a sense, Paul's successor. So he's a very important person in the New Testament. Like I said, you can read the book of 2 Timothy, and you can get some of the insights of the relationship between Paul and his young apprentice. They had great relationship, great friendship. So here in verse 19, it says Paul hoped to send Timothy to Philippi in the near future, but instead he chooses to send Epaphroditus. We'll learn about that in a minute. But let's notice how Paul describes Timothy. Nobody knew Timothy better than Paul. Listen to what he says. He says, for I have no one else other than Timothy. I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. So he's talking to a church, the Philippian church. He said, I really would like to send you Timothy because there's nobody like him. He's like me. He's got a kindred spirit. He loves people. He loves the church. He has a genuine concern. That's why I call him tender Timothy. He's not about himself. He's not about his self-interest. He's not about his career. He's all about loving and serving and helping other people. He had a heart for ministry. Let me ask you, do you have a heart for other people? Or is it just about me, myself, and I? All about yourself. Do you think of others? Well, Timothy did. Unfortunately, many of us are described in the next verse. Take a look at the next verse, verse 21. He just said, I have no one else like Timothy, for they, meaning all these other Christians who are coming and going, they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ. He said, I wish I could send Timothy. He's the only one like me. He's the only one with a kindred spirit like me that loves you. He says, everyone else seems to be so preoccupied with their own interests, too busy to serve Christ, to serve the church. I heard about a church once that put up a sign. It was their motto. Like we've got a sign here, the name of the church. Their motto was, Jesus only. Isn't that a beautiful motto? It's all about Jesus. Jesus only. Unfortunately, the wind came along and blew off the first three letters. Us only. Us only. That's more realistic, to be honest, with a lot of us. We say we're Jesus only. We say we put Christ first, put ministry first. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But a lot of us put him last. Not in the driver's seat, but in the trunk. We run our own lives. We seek after our own interests. I'd say that's getting convicting, isn't it? A lot of people say, well, I can't come to church. It's football season. Well, you know, what? Can't you tape your football game? I can't do this or that. I can't serve because I'm so busy with this interest of mine, this hobby of mine. When are we going to find time for Christ and for ministry? If we don't make it a priority, it won't happen. If this describes you, then ask God to make you more tender-hearted for others, tender-hearted for ministry. Help us to be more like Timothy. Ask God to give us a genuine love for his people. Now, Paul goes on to describe Timothy in the next verse, verse 22. He says, but you know of his, that's Timothy's, of his proven worth. I mean, this guy is so valuable. He's proved himself. He's so worthy that he served with me. Timothy served with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. He was out reaching others like a child serving his father. Like a child serving his father. Here again we see the tenderness of Timothy. He willingly served to further the gospel, but he served with the attitude and submission of a child to a father. They viewed him as his spiritual father. You know, the church needs more people like Timothy, who when they see a need, they meet it, who roll up their sleeves and serve wherever and whenever is needed. That's Timothy. No wonder Timothy was so in demand. No wonder Paul says he was a proven worth. Those kind of servants are rare. I hope you're one of those. Look at verse 23 and 24. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately. He said, I hoped to send him immediately. As soon as I see how things go with me. So Paul is saying, I've got a trial coming up. I'm going to keep Timothy here because he is the best helper I have until this is resolved, until maybe I'm acquitted. He goes on to say, and I trust in the Lord that I myself may be coming shortly. He's not only do I want to send Timothy, but I want to go too. I love you folks so much in Philippi. And so he desires to send him, but he says, I'm going to wait. By the way, did Paul ever get out of that jail? You know, history seems to indicate, we don't have a biblical record of that, but seems to indicate that Paul was released from that imprisonment. He was there for 2 years. He had ministry while he was in that jail, but he was acquitted and released for a while. So maybe he did get his dream of visiting Philippi. But he was later rearrested, and we know he was martyred for his faith. So Timothy survived and went on to become his successor. So that's our first one of Paul's friends, tender Timothy. Let's spend a few minutes getting to know a second friend. And this is the one with a difficult name. I'm calling him Encouraging Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. How do you like that name? Would you like to be born with that name? Epaphroditus? You know, what did you call yourself? What was that name? You know, by the way, I looked it up a little bit. He's named after a pagan idol. And the word actually means charming or handsome. So this mom, probably a pagan lady, not a believer, had this cutest little boy, and she named him after the idol and called him Handsome. So maybe that's not such a bad name. I think I'd prefer Handsome or Charming, Prince Charming, over Epaphroditus. But let's see what we can learn about him. Okay, chapter 2 again, verse 25. He says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Let's stop right there. Paul had hoped to send Timothy and still hoped soon in the near future to send him. In the meantime, in the present need, he's going to send a different worker named Epaphroditus. Now, you need to know that Epaphroditus actually came from Philippi. That was his home church. He had come from Philippi to Rome with the mission of seeing Paul and encouraging Paul and bringing supplies to Paul and bringing money to Paul from that church. He was the messenger from Philippi to come and encourage Paul. If you take a look into the last chapter of the book, chapter 4, verse 18, it's the only other mention of Epaphroditus. Same short letter, but here's what we read. Paul says, I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So what Paul is doing here, he's saying thank you to that church. Your messenger got here. He brought everything you needed. His name is Epaphroditus. Now I'm going to send him back with a note to you, a letter to you. So he's sending him back to his home church in Philippi. You see, there was no mail delivery in those days. You couldn't put something in the mail and hope to get there in 2 days. You know how long this note would take to get, this letter of Philippi to the Philippian church? It would take about 7 weeks to get there. It's about an 800-mile journey, part of it by road and part of it by sea. And so this man had come all the way here, encouraged Paul, and now he's being sent back. Now, aren't you happy that we have planes and trains and automobiles, boats and buses? Aren't you thrilled that we don't have to take 7 weeks to travel 800 miles? Crazy. Verse 25 goes on to describe Epaphroditus. Let me read it again. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, we read that, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger and minister to my needs. Five words he used to describe this man. That's a pretty complimentary remarks from Paul to say that much about one guy. Let's go through those. He says, thank you for sending this young man. He was such an encouragement. And he said, I'm going to send him back to you because he's like my brother. That's his first reference. Paul loved Epaphroditus like a brother. You know, we have acquaintances. We have associations with people. But we don't always love people like a brother. There was some kinship there. He was more than a messenger. He was an encourager. He was like family. You know, we should learn to love our brothers and our sisters. The Bible says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Paul loved this young man. But he also calls him, secondly, my fellow worker. Epaphroditus was involved in the ministry. They likely knew each other from Paul's ministry in Philippi. Paul had planted that church in Philippi. And chances are he was one of the leaders there, and now he's coming to visit Paul years later as Paul's in Rome. But he says Epaphroditus wasn't a spectator. He was a participator. He wasn't passive. He was active. He was a fellow worker. Not just a fellow Christian, but a worker. Are you a worker? Would people describe you not only as a brother, but a worker in God's church, in his ministry? Thirdly, he says, my fellow soldier. You know, this seems to be building in intensity. Ministry is spiritual warfare. That's why he calls him a soldier. It's spiritual warfare for the hearts and souls of people. The Bible talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the unseen world. You know, when we're trying to reach people, Satan is also trying to draw people away from God. And so he says, you're like a soldier. Epaphroditus, you're a great man. You are on the front line of ministry. Are you a brother? Sister? Yes. Are you a worker? I hope so. Are you a soldier for the Lord? I hope so. Epaphroditus is pretty inspiring, isn't he? He says he's your messenger. That's the fourth description. You see, the church of Philippi had sent him, but we really know nothing about his background. These are the only references right here in this book to Epaphroditus. Some suggest that he might have been their pastor, their spiritual overseer. He was obviously trusted because they sent him with money and support for Paul. And he had to be trusted to take this trip and keep that money safe. So he may have been a minister. He may have been a soldier. He's called a soldier. We don't know who he was, but we know he was well loved by his church. And they missed him. We're going to read about that in a minute. And the fifth thing we see in verse 25, he says, he was your minister. He was sent here to minister to Paul. He had a servant's heart. To minister means to serve. He was on a mission, not to become great, not to become famous, not to get in the spotlight, but a mission to just to encourage Paul. Bring him some money, bring him some support, help Paul out. That's why I call him encouraging Epaphroditus, encouraging. Let's pause for a minute. How about you? Are you an encourager? Or are you a discourager? Are you a positive person or a negative person? Do you go out of your way to build others up? Do you look for ways to cheer others up? Could we give you the nickname encourager? I hope so. If not, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change your attitude and become an encourager? Or are you going to continue on being a discourager? Verses 26 through 28 tells us why he was sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi. Here we go. Verse 28. Because, there's the why. Why are you sending him back? Because he was longing for you all. And he was distressed because you'd heard that he was sick. Verse 27, and indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have to sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. That's quite a sentence there. We're not told what kind of sickness he had. People speculate, but I'm not going to speculate. All I'm going to tell you is what the Bible says. He was sick to the point of death. It was severe. He was dangerously sick. By the way, some people preach health, wealth, and prosperity. They say, if you trust in the Lord, God will protect you. You won't experience sickness. You'll be prospered. You'll be healthy if you're in his will. Let me ask you a question. Was Epaphroditus walking in God's will? Sure he was. Was Epaphroditus actively involved in ministry? Sure he was. Yet, right in the middle of God's ministry, right in the middle of walking in God's will, he got sick, severely sick, and almost died. But fortunately, it says here that God had mercy on him and spared his life. Now, let me tell you a fact. A fact of life. Here we go. You ready? A hard fact. We live in a fallen world, and it's filled with disease and death. Has no bearing on your spiritual life. Your life, how you live doesn't necessarily determine whether you get sick or not sick. And this has become pretty apparent with the coronavirus. We have a lot more sickness, a lot more death than we ever want to see. But here's the reality is, we're all going to succumb to sickness and death eventually. None of us are going to live forever. None of us are immortal. We're all mortal people. If we don't die by sickness and disease, then we're going to die by old age. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we're all terminal. Whether it be sooner or later, we're all going to die. God had mercy on Epaphroditus and spared his life to continue on ministry. He may allow you to pass away. The real question is, are you ready to die? That's the bigger question. Not worrying about death, not worrying about disease or pandemics, but what we should ask ourselves is, are we right with God? Have we trusted Jesus Christ, the only Savior, for the forgiveness of our sin? Have we believed what John 3:16 says, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? We have to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to be born again into God's family. You will not see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. We're all going to pass away from this world. We need to get right with God while we have time. Our time may be short. With this disease out there, it's taking people by surprise. Won't you get right with God? I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a couple minutes. At the end, we're going to have a prayer. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to do that today. Don't wait. We live in turbulent times. Now, putting back all the pieces together with Epaphroditus, let's just wrap it up here. It appears that Paul sent Epaphroditus back to his home church to reassure them. They'd heard that he'd gotten sick, and they were worried about him. So rather than send a message that he's okay, they sent him to say, I'm great, I'm doing fine. They loved him, and they longed to see him. So rather than Epaphroditus staying and ministering to Paul, he turned right around with a letter and went back because he loved them and longed to see them. So not only was he physically sick, he was probably homesick. Anybody ever get homesick? Can you imagine traveling that far away from your family and friends and to get sick somewhere along the way? And the privilege of going back. So rather than sending Timothy, Paul sends Epaphroditus back in this return with his return letter. So he wraps it up in verse 29 and 30. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy. It'll be a great homecoming, a great celebration when he comes back to his home church. and hold men like him in high regard. Give him the honor that's due. He risked his life to come and deliver your gift and your support, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service for me. So Epaphroditus was sent back to his home church, and surely it was a joyful reunion. An honored messenger come back. So Epaphroditus was sent to Rome with the purpose of encouraging Paul. And Paul sent him back to Philippi with the purpose of encouraging his home church. So that's why we call him the encourager. The encourager. Everywhere he went, he brought encouragement to those around him. Today we've met two of Paul's closest friends. We've met tender-hearted Timothy, and we've met encouraging Epaphroditus. Do you have friends like this? Friends that encourage you up and build you up and love you? Aren't they valuable? Don't they have proven worth, as Paul says? But let me ask you another question. Will you be a friend like this? Will you be a faithful lover, tender-hearted, encouraging kind of person? If you're not one of those right now, ask God to do a work in your life. As I already said today, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. God can create something new. Create in me a clean heart. God can make you that kind of person. Stop worrying about getting people interested in you and become interested in others, and you'll have more friends than you know what to do with. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to make us more like Timothy. Help us to be genuinely concerned for others. Help us to humbly serve like a child serving his father. Help us to be those kind of people with our friends and with our church. And Lord, help us to be more like Epaphroditus. Help us to be encouraging. Help us to cheer and build up other people around us. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of friends we should be to bring glory to your name. And now, Father, I pray for those here who have never trusted you. Lord, I pray that they would call out to you right now and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my life, forgive my sins. Thank you that you promised to forgive me and give me new life in heaven someday. I now dedicate my life to you fully from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.